It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. We are rolling along in the offseason here. There is no offseason in fantasy football if you want to win. Cannot wait to talk to today's guest. Evan's been hyping him up all week when Evan and I text back and forth. This is the Fantasy Feast Podcast. I'm Ross Tucker, former journeyman offensive lineman at Ross Tucker NFL on Twitter. He's Evan Silva, the rotoworld.com dominatrix. Yes, dominatrix at rotoworld.com. Check him out at Evan Silva. Love the iTunes comments. We love any email questions you guys have. Strategy, certain players, whatever you have, just go to rostucker.com, hit up one of those sponsors, and forward the confirmation directly to me, ross at rostucker.com. Evan, we got your boy Harmon coming on, the wide receiver guru. You pumped?
Oh, I'm super pumped, super pumped. Matt Harmon is, you know, in my estimation, maybe the best wide receiver evaluator in the media. Like, I think Lance Zierlein might be the best O-line evaluator. I think that Matt Harmon might be the best wide receiver evaluator. And most notably, in the 2015 offseason, he was super, super high on a breakout from Allen Robinson, who, of course, wound up finishing as a top three fantasy wide receiver, had a monster season, led all receivers in touchdown catches. He was also really high on Michael Crabtree, who nobody was high on. I mean, and this is a tougher call than Allen Robinson. I mean, the NFL wasn't even high on Michael Crabtree, lingered in free agency for a lot of weeks, finally, you know, settled for, I think it was a 1 year, $3 million deal with Oakland, and really was barely on my radar for fantasy, other than I knew the fact that Harmon liked him. So, you know, definitely kept an eye on him, and he had a very productive season, much more productive than a lot of people anticipated. And Harmon was also really down on Davante Adams after his rookie season, and a lot of people, myself included, had Davante Adams way too high in the preseason rankings, just because, you know, especially after that Jordy Nelson injury, bumped him up way too high. I mean, I think he was in my top 25 among wide receivers. But Harmon, you know, wasn't really buying it with Davante Adams. He had a couple of flashes as a rookie, but he struggled, and he struggled badly. Like, he almost got worse in his second NFL season. So a lot of predictive value here with Matt Harmon.
Nice. I love it. Speaking of predictive value, you've been hitting tape, haven't you? I see your tweets about college guys. What's your process you're going through right now?
Little bit, yeah. I'm trying to watch at least two, ideally three or four games on all the big prospects on RotoWorld when the draft goes down. We will have a blurb on every single guy that gets drafted. And, you know, I want to have watched certainly as many skill position players as I possibly can. And eventually I'll get to some DBs and some pass rushers. And maybe a few linebackers, but yeah, I've been watching the RBs, watching the wide receivers. I haven't really looked at any tight ends or quarterbacks yet, but yeah, I would say that in comparison to where I have been in past years, I'm ahead of where I am in terms of having watched a lot of players.
Good, I love it. Well, our guest watches a lot of players, specifically wide receivers. Let's do it.
Next meal.
Well, as promised, we are basically into week two of the off season now for the Fantasy Feast podcast, which also means week two of bringing in yet another stud that Evan Silva is a huge fan of. These guys are like superstars in Evan's mind. He gets so excited to talk to him as well. Today, as we told you it would be, it's Matt Harmon. He's a fantasy football writer and editor for NFL.com. You can check out thebackyardbanter.com as well. His Twitter handle is @MattHarmon_. BYB. So, Matt, I know you're the wide receiver
soothsayer that Evan can't wait to just fire off names at you. And really, I'm curious as to what your methodology is. But tell me a little bit just about your background. It looks like you're writing for NFL.com and you have your own website as well. Is that right?
Yeah. So when I graduated college, which was in the May of 2013, you know, I took some crummy job like everybody does after school. I intended to go back to get a PhD and finish my degree and all that sort of stuff. But in the year after, I just, you know, I've always loved writing. So I just kind of took up, you know, talking about football because I love the two of them. And, you know, the more and more I got into it, I really thought, hey, I mean, I think I'm actually doing okay at this. People seem to like the content I'm putting out. So I'm going to really just kind of forgo all other life plans and try to make this my thing. And, you know, 2 years later, I guess it's worked out. But I think that really what kind of just drew me to this whole thing, especially reception perception, the methodology that I use is like back in school, I was really somebody that, you know, my degree was in sociology. So I evaluated, you know, human beings in society. And I kind of think that I take some of those same principles to what I did then, to how I evaluate football players and specifically wide receivers now. So that's kind of just like a brief overview of how I got here.
So wait a minute. How old are you, dude?
I'm 24. I turned 24.
Oh my gosh. I hate you. That is awesome. What school did you go to?
I graduated from a small liberal arts school called Lynchburg College in Virginia.
Yeah. I've heard of Lynchburg. That's not that far from Pennsylvania, where I'm from. So wait a minute. Not only that, you're going to pick somebody at the airport up soon?
That is correct. I am.
Yeah, I hate everything about you right now, dude. I really do. You're young. You're going to pick up a girl at the airport, so we got to be quick with this. I mean, come on, dude. You're killing me, Evan. You're killing me bringing on these young studs. So
I know.
Tell me about the website. I know. He's the only guy in the galaxy, Allen Robinson and Michael Crabtree. I think I told you I thought Allen Robinson was pretty good too. Okay, we can go back and check the tapes. But anyway, so Matt, give me the breakdown of reception, perception, backyard banner, NFL.com. I'm confused. You got your stuff. You're involved in a bunch of different things.
Right. So reception perception is my own unique methodology to evaluating wide receivers. When I started writing, I really realized that, you know, I was a nobody. Nobody knew who I was. You know, I didn't like go to school for this or I'm not a former NFL player or anything. So in order to stand out, I wanted to create, you know, something unique, some new form of content that nobody else was doing. So when I looked across the landscape, I thought that, for one, the wide receiver position has always just spoke to me in general, just the individual matchup between the cornerback and the receiver in general. But also I thought that it's one of the more anecdotally analyzed positions because, you know, when you're watching a game on the broadcast, you can't see what the wide receiver's doing. So, you know, sometimes you'll hear people throw around, well, the guy's just always open, the quarterback can't find him, or the inverse of that. So I wanted to go in and, you know, break down what they're doing on a route-to-route basis and really provide a full scope of the position, you know, how often they get open against man coverage, zone coverage, press coverage, and then on each individual route, and also, you know, how often they break tackles, make contested catches. So I think that what reception perception does is a unique tool to really give you a full view of this one particular position. And yeah, for right now, it's kind of like my side hustle, I guess you could say. I do a column for the Washington Post, some work at Football Guys with reception perception, and I'm just waiting for NFL.com to also want a little piece of the action too. But for right now, I just do fantasy football content with them.
Nice. Okay. So last one for me before I let Evan have at you, and that's just what is the methodology? I know you talked about it a little bit, but what is your methodology that allows you to have the success choosing wide receivers or, you know, at least giving it your feedback on wide receivers, projections that you've had?
So, I mean, it's just pretty much as simple as I, you know, go in and watch every single route that they run over an 8-game sample, you know, turn on the All-22 and just chart everything that I see. You know, it's not It's not incredibly sophisticated. It's just, it's what I would do, be doing anyways if I was just watching the position on film. This way I have all the charts, I present all the data so that people really can see the work that I'm doing, you know, so that it's not just, you know, because I feel like you see some publications that come out with grades or anything like that. So, you know, they say like, oh, this guy got a 5.5 score running routes. So that's pretty good. But what I like to do is I like to show you each individual part of the game, you know, how often they ran a slant route, how often they were successful in running it. So really it's just as simple as I'm just sitting there charting out over an 8-game sample, because that's where I found that it normalizes for NFL receivers, and then 6 games for college players. And it's just as simple as just going in and watching the film and then charting exactly what I see.
Got it. I love it. It's a smart way to do it. I mean, you're scouting. Evan, what do you got for him?
Yeah, so we're going to have to go a little bit longer than I think that we anticipated, but because I got a bunch of questions. And the first one centers around Corey Coleman. So I turn on the Baylor tape, and by tape, I mean the draft breakdown cut-up. And Corey Coleman, on some routes, is just standing there. And on some run plays, he doesn't block anybody. And then I see that he's kind of cocky, like he'll get in, you know, some defenders' faces. And I mean, he certainly plays with a lot of swagger. So I'm seeing him not run routes. I'm seeing him not block. I'm seeing him, you know, and I think that he's like the ultimate hot dog. But then I kind of realize that, you know, the other Baylor receiver on his side isn't running a route either. So why don't you tell us a little bit about this Baylor offense, which is, you know, nothing like an NFL offense, and how do you adjust for that?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, and I think it's something that I see a lot of people get tripped up on. Really, that's how they're coached at Baylor, because they run so many plays, especially those receivers run a ton of deep routes. You know, it's not a sophisticated NFL mm-hmm. offense with a lot of route combinations and things like that, but you can get tripped up when you see Coleman just, you know, like you said, trot down the sideline when it's a pass play. But really, if that pass play is not going to his side of the field, he's essentially, they're coaching him to just take the, you know, quote unquote, take the play off in order to preserve himself to run routes at full speed when the pass is going to go his way. So that's something that I initially had to get over myself. And, you know, like I mentioned, working for NFL.com, I'm able to get a lot access to all the All-22 for these games. And it's something that it does trip you up when you first see it, but you just kind of have to adjust in your mind that this is a new thing and like not hold it against him, because I think that, like you mentioned, he's definitely an intense player, and I don't think that like some of the things you see thrown around about him that he's lazy or anything like that, I don't think that fits what you see from him at all. And in terms of how I adjust for it, it is a weird adjustment, and they're one of the metrics that I use are how often they're targeted on a per route basis. And that obviously gets thrown off when some of those pass plays, he's not even really running a route. So he's an interesting evaluation, but I think when you kind of just cut that noise out of it, I think that really helps kind of center just on the player.
From a trait standpoint, I thought he had a chance to be elite. Like, he is an incredible athlete. I mean, I thought that every time that he was on the field, he was clearly the best athlete on the field. I also... And I thought he looked taller than he's expected to be. I guess he's expected to be 5'9 or 5'10, but that also may just be a function of the way he plays. I mean, what did you see from him from a trait standpoint?
Yeah, I'm with you in that I think it's really all there. For reception, he scores out above average, and it's some of the top scores of the class against man, zone, and press coverage. So obviously, as I mentioned before, he's not running a sophisticated route tree, but it's hard to hold that too much against him, considering that's the offense that he plays in. You know, you can only evaluate a player based on the environment that they're placed in, you know, and this is where he is. So, of course, that's part of the equation, but nevertheless, I'm with you. I think that he's the most dynamic player with the ball in his hands in the draft class in terms of the wide receivers for me. He was in space on more percentage of his routes than any other guy I have, and he consistently makes the first defender miss. I mean, he's physical. I think he has the lower body flexibility to become a really good route runner once he gets into an NFL team. I mean, he's just dripping with upside, in my opinion.
Up until about this past week, I think that there was a consensus or a near consensus that Laquon Treadwell was the number one wide receiver in the upcoming class. But now we're starting to hear concerns about his 40 time. You know, he doesn't separate. Do you think this is nitpicking? You know, what is your take on these sudden criticisms of Laquon Treadwell?
Well, I think there's some legitimacy to it, especially with the 40 time. Like, if he does run a 4.7, which I've already said I will eat some of my own dog's treats if he runs a 4.7, that would be pretty shocking. I don't really have the same concerns about his separation. Again, in terms of reception perception, he grades out above average running routes against man coverage. And you talk about his 40 time, whether long speed is really an issue. For one, I think that, again, one of the things that I like to do is, you know, you talk about players, you know, winning in specific ways. And I think what reception perception does is really illuminate what those ways are in a very concrete, quantitative way. And Treadwell is dynamic with the ball in his hands. He's a consistent tackle breaker. We also know that he's great playing the ball in the air. And those two things enough right there, I think, will make him a plus starter in the NFL. But he also scores above that just slightly, not tremendously. You know, he's not a Corey Coleman or some of these other guys in the class in terms of running the nine route or the vertical game, but he still scores above average for me. So even if he was to come up there and run a 4.6, I don't think it's damning to his draft stock or anything, because that's not the way he plays on film for me. I really think that he will most likely still end up as my number one receiver in the draft class. Though if you suggested a few other guys, I wouldn't completely balk at it. I don't think it's ridiculous, but to me, I think the positives far outweigh any potential concerns. And I think those concerns about him not being able to separate are kind of overblown anyways.
Should note, Allen Robinson, 4.6 flat. Hakeem Nicks, 4.63. DeAndre Hopkins, 4.57. I know people like to point to Anquan Boldin. He's like the ultimate outlier, though, so I try not to compare guys to him. But, you know, there are definitely a lot of cases where a wide receiver doesn't have elite speed and they just have elite ball skills, and they can be successful on that. And I think Laquon Treadwell has that. What do you think about Tyler Boyd? He was a guy that I just see total finesse wide receiver, you know, not a lot of physicality to his game when I watched him. What do you think?
Yeah, Boyd is a tough one, because I see a lot of people are really high on him, especially those in our community that really value, you know, market share and percentage of team's offense and breakout age and everything like that. And I think those are good tools. However, I mean, watching Boyd on a per route basis, I saw a lot of things that were just kind of average to me. He scores below, and some people I think are surprised by this, because he has a reputation as being a really concise and solid route runner, but I think that's kind of a misnomer when you look at him, like I said, on a per route basis instead of just what he does on draft breakdown cutups or anything, because he flashes some of those abilities. But he also scored below average against man coverage, zone coverage, and press coverage. So I think that he drew a lot of attention as the team's number one threat, pretty much the only threat on that offense. But to me, I think that kind of inflates what I think is an average-level talent into being some kind of superstar based on his numbers, when I don't really see those same abilities. I think he's also kind of just, again, I think he's average or solid in all phases, and I'm not to say that he won't become a successful NFL player, because I do think he can be a really solid contributor for a good passing game. However, I would think that he will need to master the craft of running routes and all those little nuanced techniques that go into that in order to become like a number one receiver for an offense. Like Larry Fitzgerald's kind of a good example of a guy that, you know, they come from the same school, so, you know, some people will make that comparison, but Fitzgerald is one of the elite route runners in the NFL. So if people want to make that natural comparison, they're going to have to assume that Boyd makes that jump, and I have a tough time doing that based on what I've seen so far.
Cool. Want to ask about two more rookies and then two young second-year wide receivers that are already in the NFL. Rashard, well, I know that you love Sterling Shepard because, I mean, I read your site and you called him, bar none, the best route runner in this year's wide receiver class. And Rashard Higgins, who I have not seen, do these receivers come from the same sort of archetype? You know, how do you like Rashard Higgins and Sterling Shepard?
Yeah, well, I'll start with Shepard. And you're right, I did put out just some information on the guys that I think are going to compete for my top four spots, which are Treadwell, Josh Doctson, Corey Coleman, and Sterling Shepard. Not necessarily in that order, but yeah, Shepard absolutely blew away reception perception scores. You know, and like I said, I think he is clearly the best route runner in this class. I don't even really think it's worth a conversation. He shows really advanced release moves at the line of scrimmage. You know, he can do the subtle head fake and not tip off his routes. Just all around really impressive. I mean, he's the type of guy when you watch him, you think you're watching an NFL player already. Now, whether he just ends up as a slot receiver or whether he can win outside, and in my personal opinion, I do think that he can beat NFL corners outside, especially once he gets with the team. I think he's going to be a tremendous, tremendous asset to a team in the league. I love him. I mean, he's, like I said, he blew away reception perception scores. He's clearly the best in the class in that regard. And then Rashard Higgins, I think that he is really interesting because he's, you know, kind of rail thin frame and everything, but again, scores really well at everything. Great. I think he's another really good route runner, understands timing and when to break really well. Like if he gets, he kind of like when I was watching Michael Crabtree last year, I thought that if he got into a quick timing up-tempo passing game, I thought he could be a really big asset. And I kind of see Higgins in the same way, not necessarily that I'm comparing those two players, but he does everything really well. He's good when he gets out in space and just a really in control route runner. And I love to see that. Like guys that don't really lose themselves when they're running their routes. And Higgins is a great example of that. I mean, he's going to be a tough one to move down, you know, your positional rankings when you really dig into him, because he's just a baller. He does everything really well that you want from the position.
And a couple of rookies that are coming off, you know, kind of slow first seasons. Have you had a chance to watch much of Nelson Agholor's first NFL season? He was a guy that, I thought he was a high floor prospect coming out of USC. And he dealt with one of the toughest cornerback schedules in the league. Mike Clay has pointed that out, how he would, you know, just so frequently face off with elite cornerbacks on a week-to-week basis. But, you know, did you watch him a lot in his first NFL season? If I recall correctly, you really did like him coming out of college.
Yeah, you're right. I did like him. I think he was in my top five for last year's class. And I have not gotten a chance to go back and chart him for reception perception yet, but I think he will be – he's one of the ones I have pretty high up on my list to do, because I like you mentioned, that Mike Clay information about his cornerback matchups I think was really interesting to me. And also I think one of the things that, like, Chip Kelly gets a lot of flack for how he kind of destroyed the running game over time there in Philadelphia, and I definitely agree with that. That is a legitimate criticism, but I also think the way that he kind of treated, you know, X receivers, the guys that, you know, should theoretically challenge your defense and, you know, force tough matchups, get guys like Jordan Matthews into favorable spots because these guys are successful. I think that Chip Kelly really treated that position like interchangeable. You know, he went from DeSean Jackson to Jeremy Maclin and then tried to have Nelson Agholor succeed as a rookie there. And I think he got asked, they asked a lot of him. And then when that didn't work, they had to go to, you know, subpar veterans and everything. So I haven't gotten a chance to go back and chart him out yet to tell you specifically, but I will say I was very high on him and I have not given up hope yet, for sure, just based on the kind of, you know, how the odds were just so far stacked against him as a rookie.
And last one, Doriel Green Beckham. I know he was your number one college wide receiver coming out in 2015. You know, what are your thoughts on him entering his second NFL season?
Yeah, love the talent for sure coming out of school. One of the things that I think he was kind of a misunderstood prospect last year, because naturally I think we try to fit players into bubbles based on their size or what we think we might be able to assume about them. And because Dorial Green Beckham was, you know, he had off-field troubles and he was a big guy, I think people really just assumed he couldn't run routes and was just a go-up-and-get-it type of guy. And he definitely had struggles with route running after taking a year off as a rookie. However, you know, I wasn't working for NFL.com last offseason, so I did not have nearly the access to college film that I did now. I was able to procure two games of him to chart for reception last year, and this article is still on the Backyard Banter now if you want to go back and find it. I actually thought he ran more routes than he got credit for back in his final season in Missouri. I really thought he, you know, ran enough routes that, like, the typical, you know, highly athletic big receivers do. Like, if you look at the route trees for, you know, even a Calvin Johnson, who I just recently wrote about, or like a Josh Gordon or a Julio Jones, Demaryius Thomas is probably the perfect example. These guys aren't running a bunch of nuanced routes, so really I thought he fit that archetype well enough, you know, not just to go up and get it, you know, on a nine route type of guy. So I really think that he can be one of the best receivers in the league if he's focused, if he's dedicated, he meets the potential. Of course, the Titans, you know, they hire Mike Mularkey. That's, you know, I'm not totally in love with the hiring, although it could go different ways. I think the pairing between him and Mariota will be the most critical part to his statistical success, because Mariota is a very good timing execution passer. That doesn't necessarily seem like it would lend itself to fitting with the Dorial Green Beckham archetype receiver, but I do think that Mariota is also the guy that really knows how to take advantage of matchups, to scan the field and be smart with his decisions. And I think he will look judiciously to Dorial Green Beckham to take shots down the field. Don't forget that he was really ascending, you know, target share wise right there for a 4-week stretch before Mariota went down to end the season. So I'm going to be very excited about Dorial Green Beckham next year for sure.
Yeah. And as much as the hire of Mike Mularkey seems kind of milquetoast, When Mike Mularkey took over, they started playing DGB a lot, and Marcus Mariota started running. So we can at least give him credit for that. But go ahead, Ross. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem. Matt, last one for me, then we'll let you go pick up your girl at the airport. I hate you still. 24 years old. Gosh. Anyway, give me the scoop, man. You had Crabtree and Allen Robinson last year. Crabtree bounce back, Robinson breakout. Is there anybody so far this year that you already have identified them as being a breakout or a bounce back guy for next year?
Yeah, I get this question a lot. You know, especially a lot of people ask me, you know, who's the next Allen Robinson and all that. And it's hard to say, because I think there are sort of special, you know, moments in a player's career, and also just when you're studying them. And I thought that Robinson was really at that point. So I don't know if there is another one, if there's another set that's going to be just like that. I will say, I think that, you know, like a guy that I always bring up is kind of, I don't know if it's ever going to turn into a statistical success like these guys that we're talking about, but Albert Wilson from the Chiefs is a guy that I really always admire. And I think that if he ever got a fair share of targets, I think we would see a surprising amount of production for him. So I'm going to say to be determined, Ross, to answer your question. Pretty much I'm going to spend all off season going at, now that I'm kind of done with my college work, in terms of prospect, I'm going to be just going through all these wide receivers and hopefully put out an ebook that I intended to release last year before I had to move across the country, and put out all this data on all these NFL guys. And by then, I think I'll be able to more accurately answer your question.
Awesome. Check him out on Twitter at @MattHarmon_BYB. Reception, perception, creator. He's all over the backyardbanner.com. He writes and edits for NFL.com, fantasy football content, and he is Evan's wide receiver idol. Thanks so much, Matt.
No, thank you, guys. It's my pleasure.
Oh, man. Good interview with Matt. I'm just laughing right now, and I know Evan is as well, because if you couldn't tell, early in that interview, we had some technical issues, so I had to switch from my IP codec unit to Skype, and Brian, we tried to edit it together as best we can, but this, if you didn't catch it, go back and listen to me introducing Matt as the soothsayer
Oh, man, that was awesome. Enjoyed that conversation. Once again, Evan, you absolutely nailed it. Loving these off-season podcasts. I feel like I learned so much. You know, in life, everybody's got to get a guy. You got to get a guy. I got a guy. Now we got an NFL 10 guy. Now I got a wide receiver guy. You got to have a guy for everything. Make sure you have a guy. Now we're getting our own guys here on the Fantasy Feast Eaten podcast. Hey, you know the way it works. Got to spread the word via social media. He's at Evan Silva. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. The podcast is at RTF Podcast. If you like real stories of my time in the NFL, I got a doozy coming out on Thursday that you're going to want to read. So make sure you're signed up over at rostucker.com, which is also where all of our various sponsors are. Amazon, banner ad, PayPal, all that stuff. Anyway, other than that, stick a fork in us. We're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
So everybody uses the internet for everything now, right? I mean, come on. You listen to this podcast via the internet, whatever. We all got it. The internet's where it's at. Did you know that the internet is where it's at for buying cars now as well? TrueCar is the internet's car buying solution for determining a fair price on a new car. You know how it is. You can find everything on the internet. Well, now you can find what is the fair price in your area on the car you want via TrueCar. Go online, see what it is. Check it out. TrueCar, you can see what others in your area paid for the same car you're looking for, which helps you determine fair price. Then you get a guaranteed savings certificate from a TrueCar certified dealer. TrueCar users save an average of $3,200 off of MSRP, and over 2 million cars have now been sold by the TrueCar certified dealer network. In fact, there are over 10,000 dealers in the TrueCar certified dealer network. Visit TrueCar.com or download the TrueCar app and start saving. TrueCar, never overpay.